John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. From the surface of the planet Earth, we travel with Bob to the surface of planet Mars, to a spot in Jezero Crater where a brave little flying robot is about to make history for all time. We're looking at a spot that likely will be the Smithsonian exhibit of the 23rd century. Bob, a very good evening to you. It is easy to anthropomorphize the little creatures that are carried into space by big robots and dropped off for special missions. That describes ingenuity. What is its status? What is the plan? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, ingenuity is the small 4-pound weighing, only weighs 4 pounds, helicopter prototype that was carried on the rover Perseverance to test the ability to do powered flight on Mars. And last week Perseverance finally dropped the helicopter to the ground, moved away very quickly so that Ingenuity solar panels could be hit by sunlight. And successfully, the helicopter survived its first night on its own on Mars. This is the first time it was using its own power, and it was not protected by the shielding of Perseverance. And they wanted to make sure it could, they hoped it could survive that. And as the project manager of Ingenuity said, Mimi Ong, this is the first time Ingenuity has been on its own on the surface of Mars. We now have confirmation that we have the right insulation, the right heaters, and enough energy in its battery to survive the cold night. And so they know that now. They're next going to spend the next few days checking the thermal and power systems against the swings in temperature to make sure they've got those fine tuned properly so they can maximize the power they have available when they attempt to fly. After a few days of testing power and thermal, they're going to then begin testing the rotary blades and the motors. And if everything goes right, they will do the actual flight on April 11th next week. And if they do it, they'll fly about 100 feet achieve the first flight on another planet. And they're carrying, by the way, a piece of fabric from the Wright brothers plane on Ingenuity, which is kind of cool. And if they succeed, this is an engineering test only, they're not really going to do science. But if they succeed, what then happens is this opens up the future for other rovers on Mars, because they could carry these scouts to check out territory, terrain, and do research where the rover can't go.
We go from Jezero Crater, where we leave Perseverance and Ingenuity, to a Martian crater. This is in a new evidence from the Planetary Science Journal. A Martian crater that is believed to be, Bob, is this spring-fed? Is that what we're looking at here?
No. That's exactly not what we're looking at. What's significant about this particular research is this is a very ancient Martian crater from the very early era of Mars, the Noachian era, they call it. But it's just, we're talking about 4 to 6 billion years ago. So it's one of the very first craters. It's very well eroded. And what they found is evidence of runoff from the interior rims to form, that leaves evidence now of there were once lakes in the center on the floor of the crater. But the runoffs don't come from springs, and they don't come from any gap in the rim. It appears those runoffs come, they think, from glaciers that were on the rim or of flowing down the slopes of the rim a very long time ago. And what this is important is that this is unusual. They've now found about 40 of these craters in the equatorial regions where they don't have any runoff from outside or any break from inside. All the runoff seems to come from the slopes, and it suggests they came from ancient glaciers on the slopes, not rivers. And it suggests a cold climate in the past, not a warm climate. And this suggests the history of early Mars was once again significantly influenced not by flowing water, but by glaciers in a cold climate. So that's the significance of this particular study, John. And it just adds more weight to the possibility that we've been misinterpreting the features as fluvial when they actually have been possibly glacial.
So what we're looking at is that large basin on one side of Mars could have just been all ice and not a flowing ocean. Is that correct?
Well, it depends. Large giant basins are a different story, their impact glaciers. But in this particular case, a crater suggests that in the past, glaciers dominated. This is what the data says. Glaciers dominated, not flowing water.
All right. We go to another feature on the surface of Mars, which Bob gives the extremely complicated Latin name of cool image time exclamation point. Bob, your Latin is magnificent. What is cool image time showing me?
I do these all the time on Behind the Black. It's time for a cool image. And, I find interesting images that were taken by spacecraft, mostly Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter these days because it's getting the best shots and the most of them. And this was a bright, colorful mesa in the, lowlands, northern lowlands of Mars. And what was interesting about it is that it's similar to a feature I had, a mesa I had featured three months ago. Also another bright mesa in a similar region, and all of them have the same thing. They're bright. They have many different colors. They suggest diverse mineral compositions, to quote a scientist, and there's a lot of them. They don't know what formed them. Let's make that clear. And that's what's interesting about them. They suggest there's a lot of mineralogy on Mars that could be tapped into down the road. So that's why I feature it.
Now the solar cycle, which may or may not be intimately involved in the climate of planet Earth, Bob is tracking through NOAA's release, I believe, the maximum that is going to come somewhere in the year 2025, and the most recent part of the plotting looks consistent, Bob, or help me interpret this. Is this consistent with what they project?
No, it's exceeding the projections. This is the reverse of the last solar maximum 5-6 years ago, where for more than a decade, all the predictions the scientists had pretty much were way higher than the actual activity. Well, now we're beginning to ramp up to the next solar maximum, and so far, for the last, I'd say almost year and a half, the activity of sunspots on the sun has been greater than the predictions. Now, it's not gigantically much more, and we're still early in the ramp-up, so this could be just a outlying trend. But nonetheless, their predictions are below the activity. And both of these data points tell us that, really, the scientists don't yet know what's going on the sun. They don't really understand the processes that produce sunspots. They know it's related to magnetism and the solar dynamo, but the actual underlying causes within the dynamo and its long-term processes that have these cycles occur, they don't really understand in the slightest. So when they try to make a prediction, they are extrapolating from past performance. And as any broker will tell you, past performance is no guarantee of future results, and that's the case here.
Bob, just a detail, because we started with ingenuity. What is perseverance doing while ingenuity steals all the scene to fly?
Well, until ingenuity's test period is over, Perseverance's goal is to study what ingenuity is doing. So what it's doing right now is it's moving off to find a good lookout, a safe lookout, to watch and observe and record ingenuity's flight. It does other science along the way, but its priority now is observing ingenuity and the engineering test. Once that test is completed, and they give them about till, I'd say, late May to complete all their tests, then ingenuity is done and Perseverance proceeds on its science mission.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going to space engineering when we come back. There's a lot of activity in commercial space. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.